Jimmy Durante, great entertainer from many years ago. Once he agreed to appear on a show for the benefit of World War II veterans. And his schedule would allow only a very brief appearance of about 5 minutes. But when Jimmy Durante went on that stage, something unusual happened. He delivered a brief monologue, but then he told another joke, and then he told another joke, and he performed on the stage for 30 minutes. And when he finally left the stage, one of the producers of the show said, "Well, I thought you could only perform for a few minutes. What happened?" And Jimmy said, "I had to change my schedule when I saw those two men who were sitting in the front row. One man had lost his right arm in the war. The other had lost his left arm in the war. And they sat next to each other and enthusiastically applauded Mr. Durante by clapping their remaining hands together." You know, sometimes one plus one is greater than two, and two plus two is greater than four. And this is the very concept of synergetics. And that word simply means the sum total is greater than the total of the separate parts. When God's people work together and serve together for the cause of Jesus Christ, we can accomplish much more as a united body of believers than we could ever accomplish separately. Let's look at the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." You know, if we grow together, we will not grow apart. There are obviously some burdens that Christians will bear alone. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, each one shall bear his own load. But in that very same context, just three verses earlier, Paul also wrote, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The concept of Christianity and the church is togetherness, helping your brothers and sisters in Christ make it through some difficult times and rejoicing together in good times as well. And this is the very basis of the word synergy. The theory is that one person might be able to lift 100 pounds by himself, and a second person might be able to lift 75 pounds by himself. But by combining their strength, they can lift more than 175 pounds. I think if we think about this long and hard, we can think about the example that we have and the command that we have to sing. A solitary Christian can sing alone, but it's far more inspirational and uplifting when many Christians blend our voices together in praise to God and encouragement to one another. A solitary Christian can pray. Yet think of the combined power that large numbers of men and women can have when they unite their petitions and praises to God. Every Christian can study the Bible in the privacy of his or her own home. But it is refreshing and enlightening to put our minds together and to exchange wisdom in order to gain deeper insights into the will of God and determine how we can apply the things we learn in a practical way. This is certainly what we can do in our Bible classes, also what we can do in our worship service. You know, Christians can worship alone, or they can worship in their homes and still fulfill the technical requirements of God's teaching. But worship is intended to be shared with people of like mind and like faith. The spirit of worship is togetherness. It is fellowship. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23 through verse 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to, notice, stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the concept of worship is that we encourage one another, that we stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The whole concept of Christianity is not about self, but it is about one anothering. We are not in this by ourselves. In fact, I think it is safe to say that we cannot make it by ourselves, and we will not make it to heaven by ourselves. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. Again, we are in this together. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 2, again, Paul wrote, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification." I really believe that worship, as I have described before, is not just for you and not just for me, but it is for us. That together we can be drawn closer to one another and we can be drawn closer to God. Encouraging and being encouraged. Stimulating and being stimulated. Assembling and being a vital part of the assembly. As stated earlier, if we grow together, we will not grow apart. The synergy of Christianity is teamwork. When I think about those first converts to Christianity in Acts 2 that we read about, I'm really amazed. Jewish brethren from all over the known world, they came together expecting to celebrate an important Jewish festival. And suddenly and unexpectedly, 3,000 Jewish brethren became brothers and sisters in Christ as a result of being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. In so doing, they rejected everything they and their families had embraced for many years. And many of them, when they went back home, would be disfellowshipped by their families and by their local synagogues. But they stuck together. They stayed in Jerusalem much longer than they had originally anticipated. They didn't have enough food, enough clothes, enough money to stay for a prolonged period of time. But when they pooled all of their resources together, along with the locals from Jerusalem, they had more than enough. They devoted themselves to the inspired teachings. They enjoyed emotional and spiritual highs. They ate together. They prayed together. They praised God together. And they influenced the community for good together. And God blessed them together. Daily, by giving them even more spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. If they had never experienced that synergy of being together, doing things together, they would probably have gone to their individual countries and homes and drifted back into their traditional ways of life. You know, they're going back to the analogy of football. There are many excellent football players. And on every team, there are some players who are superstars. But it has often been said that on any given day, the team with the poorest record could beat the team with the best record. So what is the difference? What is the difference between the perennial playoff teams and the teams that can never seem to make it to that slightly higher level of performance? I'm convinced, again, that it is teamwork. Teams that don't quite click together as teammates can be loaded with talent and yet never be winning teams. And then there are other teams who may have less talent, but they've learned how to play together as unselfish teammates, and they often win championships. I believe that God has put everything in place for Holly Lake to become a great team and to rise to another level of spirituality and godly service. We have a God who has never lost a battle, or as we keep the analogy, has never lost a game. We have a leader, Jesus Christ, who has been victorious over sin and over death. And we have teammates playing different positions who have various talents. And we need to just learn how to work together as a team to bring all of those great talents together that God has given to us. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, "Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. I think it's important from that text for us to realize that, first of all, it is God who has given each one of us different talents, different abilities. And then God has placed us where we are right now in this congregation of His people with those various talents to pull us together as one body or as one congregation of His people. We are here because God has so desired us to be here. There is no limit to what God in Christ can do through us if we will do what God wants us to do with great teamwork, with great unity. And I think that we just need to ask ourselves, what will it be? Will it be status quo? Will it be time to offer excuses that we are too old or we don't have enough people? Or will this be a great year in the history of this congregation where we bring more and more glory to God? I hope it's the latter. I hope that together we can work to bring glory to God in this community and throughout the world. Notice what Paul said again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. Having trouble with my clicker here this morning. "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not whether we will be victorious. God gives us victory through Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Will it be the thrill of victory in Jesus, or will it be the agony of defeat and apathy? We'll make that decision. We will decide whether we are going to grow and whether we want to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, because God wants us to grow. He desires us to have spiritual growth and numeric growth as well. And He will give us the power to do it. All we have to do is believe in Him. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you'll take this opportunity today to do that. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?